three thoughts as we think on the theme, Be Strong in the Lord, part one. Warfare against spiritual darkness, verse 10 to 12. Wearing God's armor for protection, verse 13 to 18. And well-being of an ambassador in bonds. The book closes with a final equipping of the saints for spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul candidly reveals to Christians that they are living in Satan's world. They are expected, or they are to expect, the devil to seek to create havoc, to thwart their good work and walk with God. There will be spiritual attacks that the believer is expected to fend off. The Apostle Paul shows us the wherewithal to which a spiritual warfare, a good spiritual warfare, and he himself is in the thick of the battle. He was a prisoner in the dungeons of Roman bondage as this letter is being written. It is ironic how, as a bondman, he is encouraging freedmen. But this is the lot for him. He had to endure the bonds of the cross of prison life. And this is what we said, the grace of God will enable a man to do, to totally yield to his God, to do, to fight the good fight of faith. So he begins this text, this closing of his epistle to the Ephesian church by saying to them, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord is the command by which he said to his comrade in arms, all who are together with him in this spiritual battle. He says to them, trust in the Lord to help you uphold his name. He has spoken to us concerning the battle in the family front. He spoke about the husband-wife relationship. Then he spoke about the parent-children relationship. Then he spoke about the master and the slave relationship. And now he tells us, in order that we may wage a good warfare, that we may have victory, let us enlist the help of God so that we will be protected in this battle. And he tells them to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. To stand, that's the word that he repeats. To stand, to withstand means to stand against. Not easy to stand against. Showing us how we can stand against the enemy. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Joshua and the people of Israel were commanded by the Lord to arise and go over the Jordan to inherit the promised land of Canaan. They were encamped in Shittim, near the crossing of the Jordan River, bordering the city of Jericho. And you would recall, 40 years prior to the commanded entry, 10 spies were sent to survey the land. And the report was that it was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. Right? They came back with grapes. So lush. Right? So good. But they also said that it was a land populated by hostile giants. Out of fear, the people refused to enter the land and perished in the wilderness. That generation of Israelites, right? You remember? They were fearful, they were not strong in the Lord. And that whole generation who refused to enter the land perished in the wilderness. And it was a new generation that has arisen, whom God will lead to inherit the promised land. And Joshua, Moses' minister, will be their leader. And you could recall how the Lord said to Joshua many times, be strong and of a good courage. The Lord knew the enemy will seem formidable in the sight of his servant, and had to fortify him against doubting God's ability to do his will for Israel to inherit the land. And so Joshua chapter 1 verses 2 to 9 gives to us that account, how Joshua was encouraged to be strong in the Lord. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou inherit for an inheritance the land which I speak unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. As we go out each day to do our work, you realize that you are in a spiritual battle. On many fronts, in your work front, in your home front, in many different areas of your life. And you see Paul, you see how the Lord had to assure Joshua that his will be accomplished through Joshua's courage and obedience. And this is how we are to live our spiritual life too. To take hold of God and his word, we need courage. We need faith. Right? And we need obedience. The Apostle Paul, at the close of his life, encouraged Timothy to be courageous, to fulfill God's calling for his life, to preach the gospel, setting himself as an example. He says to him, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So Paul is saying to Timothy, and the Lord is saying to each one of us, we have a spiritual mandate that God has given to us. He has opened your spiritual eyes, and there is a work for you to do. And you need to be strong in order to carry out the will of God for your life. Right? Each one of us, the Lord makes special, unique, and has a good plan and purpose to use your life to impact for his kingdom's sake. And this, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, helps his people to prepare themselves. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. The word strong is the verb to be strong is in the imperative. It means to become strong, be capable to take hold of God's power to help you. How can we be strong? Well, we can be strong if we take time to draw close to the Lord. We can take time to seek the will of God. Before we do anything, we take time to follow the Lord and his ways and not our own way. Take matters into our own hands. So here, Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is going to help you fight your battles, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your workplace, wherever you will be. The Lord will help you. His power will be with you, and you are to be strong to trust him. In other words, to see you through. And this is very clearly illustrated in the Exodus when Israel fled Egypt and fear overtook them by the furious pursuing Egyptian chariots. They were frightened. Indeed, we would all be frightened. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not a weak enemy, but a strong enemy. Subtle, very subtle. And unless we are well endowed by the Spirit of God, we'll find that we are going to fall. And so the Lord tells us, be careful. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And this is the kind of faith that God wants us to have. When Israel was to cross the Jordan River, the enemies were there. They were giants, and literally true, they were giants. And they know that by their own strength, they will be no match. And when the Israelites realized the Egyptian army was closing in, what were their response? It's understandable. Right? But we need to fortify ourselves not to respond in this way. Right? It says, they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Wow! God is bringing them to the promised land. They were slaves in Egypt. What is it that they were saying? Well, the Lord demonstrated his power to deliver his people. Be still, fear not. There are those times when we must not fear. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to this, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, upon the dry ground, and the waters that were a wall unto them on their right hand and to their left, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them. To the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the Egyptians, host of the Egyptians, through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots and wheels, that they drived heavily, so that the Egyptians say, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon the chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the seas. Waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that good work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So you see here, this record is placed there so that the people of God may have a vivid picture that when you are in confronting some crisis, the Lord will be there to help you. But we need to allay the fear that is in our hearts. So Paul said to the church at Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to stand against the scheming craftiness. God's armor is his provision for his people, so that they may be able to stand against the scheming and craftiness of the devil. And the Bible tells us that the devil is none other than Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, the perfect, beautiful, anointed cherub. In the book of Revelation, it's called the dragon, Satan, the serpent, the devil. He is the chief adversary of the people. And here, the Lord wants us to understand, to stand, to resist, to withstand is the word there. It comes from the word to stand against. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is not flesh and blood. The battle is not physical, not just physical, but against Satan and his demons. And against these demonic powers, we wrestle. And so the Lord wants us to know that there is a spiritual dimension to it. And we are to be careful. Even the angel, I dare not cast a railing accusation against the devil. But the Lord said, let him deal with the evil one. The book of Jude. And It has to be explained, right, that this principalities, the word there means the beginning or the chief of rulers. Right? The chief of rulers. And the powers there refer to the authorities, the chief princes and men in society. So here Paul is saying that there is an authority, right, that undermines the authority of God, right, that he has to be careful of. Right? He explained the rulers of the powers of the darkness of this world. Right? He speaks, the word there means a world ruler, holding power over the world. These are devilish forces. And you see when our Lord Jesus was on earth, how he was able to dispel all the evil ones, right? All the demons that came, right? Only by the power of God. And we dare not, right, meddle with these things. We protect ourselves through prayer in the Lord. And here the Lord wants us to understand the power of the evil one. Peter, the Apostle Peter, also wrote his epistle, and he also wrote concerning spiritual warfare at the end of his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 5. And here Peter said, as Paul said, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So here you see a picture, right, of a shepherd keeping watch over the flock by night. And in the night time, the lion comes, the wolf comes and prowls and stalks and surrounds and circles the flock, seeking which one of them he will devour. And so you see here a picture of danger. And the Lord wants us to see the danger. Sometimes we don't see and we suffer for it. Right? And so the Christian realizes that when we are in this world, right, God can allow Satan to wreak havoc in our lives. In the sense that God allow us to be tested, tempted. Right? And Satan is not any being that we want to meddle with. In the account of the first book of the Bible, the book of Job, you see how Satan is actually very powerful. Right? He wields great powers over men, their mind, their heart, their nature, and he even controls the winds and the fires to wreak havoc. Right? Job suddenly saw a messenger coming to him. It says, the Sabians fell upon them and took away your ox, your asses, who were feeding in the pasture. And then he received another message. The fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And while the second servant was speaking, another came. The Chaldeans made up three bands and fell upon the camels. And upon all them, the camels are the modern cars. This their means of transport. Right? And carried them away and slain the servants. And while they were yet speaking, there came another. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking. And then there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. That's the power of the devil. That's the power of the evil one. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. That is what it means to be strong in the Lord. You never know what the Lord would allow us to go through. He won't allow us to go through anything that we cannot take. Right? He will always make a way of escape. The Lord will always try us where we are able. But in that trying, well, we are going to grow. Okay? Job is going to grow tremendously in his spiritual life as he goes through the trials. It's so tough when he's in the midst of it. It's true. When we are in the midst of a trial, it's tough. But what did Paul said to us? Be strong in the Lord. So this is the first thought that is given there. And verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. This is a military term that is used here. It means to hold your ground, hold your position. Because if you retreat, then the enemy would possess that ground. So we are to stand our ground. And it means that we have to have courage to hold your ground. Is it easy to hold our ground? No. It requires courage. We have to overcome the fear. And we have to depend on the Lord to fight the battle. So this is a military term. Implies to stand your ground, hold your position when you are under attack. You see the casualties around you. You see the strength of the enemy. You see that he is making inroads. Ah, indeed. We said we are living in the last days, prior to the Lord's coming again. And the Lord wants us to hold on. Hold on to your spiritual life and that of your families during this time of great testing. And we said that the days prior to the Lord's coming, it means that Satan's time is going to be over, limited. Right? And you'll find that the battle will be even more intense. And how does Satan trip and trap the people of God? Well, you find that he does so through deception. Right? Did he not say to Adam and Eve? What did he say to Adam and Eve? Thou shalt not surely die. What did God say to them? Thou shalt surely die. If you eat, you will to die, you shall die. But what did Satan say? You will not die. And the serpent came and said, you will make you wise. Your third eye will be open. You will be wise. Very, very tempting. We want that promotion. And therefore, you know, this is what you can do to get that promotion. You'll find that there is that temptation. You do this and you do this. You have to, you know, groom yourself. Go and attend this course. Get the proper directions in which you would be able to get your next promotion. Therein lies the deception. Right, if you agree, you go and you see, what kind of method is that? It's not of God. You realize that, that's dangerous. But they promise you that you would be trained. You have the wherewithal, the wisdom, so that you will get the next promotion. Dangerous, isn't it? Yeah. the temptation is there, very great. And what will you do? Well, we have to test the Spirit. You have to know if this is of God. If it's not of God, you better flee. You better run. Even if you have sunk in your money, right? Consider that a lesson. Flee. We are in that warfare. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And in the book of Jude, as he exhorts the church, he wrote in Jude 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he wanted to talk to them about the gospel, the salvation message. But he says, "It is more needful, or it's needful for me to write unto you and exhort you at this time, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He says that do not betray the trust that the Lord has given to you. He has saved you, and he expects you to keep his ways. And we as a church is organized after the biblical traditions of the Word of God. Will we give them up? What are those things that we look for in the church? We shall be organizing after the biblical traditions of the Protestant Reformation, as you see in your weekly today, that we must not forget our spiritual heritage, how we came that distance, how the Lord brought us through that distance. If we are not vigilant in one generation, there would be nothing left. And the Lord wants us to be very, very awakened, aware of what we are talking about. The Lord wants us to know that we are to choose the old paths, the good way, that you may find rest for your souls. But they said, Jeremiah 6:16, "We were not walked therein." The 16th century Protestant Reformation was a movement raised by God to bring the deviant medieval church back to the old paths. Where is the good way? It is the movement back to the Bible. That's why we have to keep emphasizing that without the grounding in the Word of God, if you're not spending time to be grounded, then you're going to be in trouble when the testing comes. You know, there's the story of the Chinese bamboo. How is it that, you know, when you plant the Chinese bamboo, you put a seed in the ground, and after 1 year, you know, you water, and you don't see anything. Second year, you water, put your fertilizers, you don't see anything. Third year, when you water and you fertilize, you don't see anything. Fourth year, when you water and you fertilize, you don't see anything. And the fifth year comes, suddenly in a short time, it shoot up to hundreds of meters high. Well, it's because it is growing its roots. How can it be strong if it doesn't have strong roots? You are building your life. How can your spiritual life be strong if you do not have a strong spiritual foundation? We are always looking for instant spirituality, instant knowledge, right? To grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fruit come in its season, right? We study this during our church camp. Psalm 1, fruit comes in its season, right? You have to have the right conditions to bear fruit. And we need to take time to study. It takes much patience. It takes much agonizing to be under the sound of the gospel. That's why Paul says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that emphasis must not be forgotten. And that's why we said that it was an awakening at that time for the church to purpose in her heart that the Bible alone is the believer's final authority for rule of faith and practice. The Bible alone is sufficient to govern the believer's life and the church. The Word of God. And how much time do we have, each week to be grounded in the Word of God? We possibly have a session like that, right, for our youth, one session for our young people, a session like that. And that's it. Right? Prayer meeting, you see how many percent of the church would come for a prayer meeting? How many would be willing to devote time to pray and to be grounded in the Word of God? Not many. Not many would see the priority, to see the need. The Word of God at that time was not available to the people. But the Word of God was made available when men translated the Word of God to the language of the people. Today we have, many copies of the Bible. We are privileged with having the Word of God. But what are we doing with it? Is it helping us in our life? Are we growing out of it? Do we take time to chew over it? Are we bearing spiritual fruit in our lives? Do you see yourself growing last year and this year? The year before and this year, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, we must be growing. And it is for us to take time to grow. And sometimes it requires patience, as we said in the story of the bamboo tree, the Chinese bamboo. You plant and you water and you said, oh yeah, I spent so much time studying, praying and reading and reviewing and meditating. How come no change? How come so little change? You realize that we are fighting against the flesh, and the flesh and the evil one and the world. These are no mean enemies. They are powerful. And unless we are girded and strong, we are not going to be able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. And what is the result? Well, if you study after the book of Joshua, come the book of Judges. What happened after that? The people knew not God. There was a generation that will not hold fast. We are coming to September. September is almost the end of the year. In our workplace, we already said, we closed the year already. We look at our target, we said, our B-bar is done for the year. You know, we are close for the year already. Yeah, indeed, we are close, almost to the close of the year already. And the time passed so fast, right? Week after week, 1 week after another. Yeah, you finish 1 week, you begin another week. Right? For us, as we prepare, you finish one lesson, and you're already preparing another lesson, and you're preparing some lessons in advance. And time is flying, passing so fast. And we realize that, you know, if we would, what our late principal said, you know, don't waste time. I remember he you know, we went to the hospital to visit, and we were studying at that time. He said, don't waste time. Of course, at that time, you don't really understand. You are sick, I'm here to visit you, to bring comfort. But what is your task as a student? You are to be studying. You are to be preparing yourself for the ministry. Any slacking during that time will manifest itself in the future. So I understand now what it means when it says, don't waste time. It's true. If we have missed the opportunities, we have missed the opportunities. Time cannot be, you know, turned back. Right? Time is, when it's gone, it's gone. So you have that 1 hour to study the Word of God. Right? You missed it. You missed it. We are studying about spiritual warfare. And when you are confronting, you're being confronted in the battle, and you're not equipped, then you realize that, wow, you lose out. So the Lord wants us to be grounded, and the Protestant Reformation is one of our spiritual roots, right, whereby we got the order that we have in the church today. Right? We sing hymns. Right? It was at that time that hymns were revived. How, when we sing the hymns, it brings so much comfort and peace to our hearts. Because the words, the godly music, strengthens our soul, give us strength, right, to encourage us to follow the Lord. To be decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It is through the Reformation that the preaching of God's word was revived. That was the old path, the good way, so that men may find rest in their souls. And that is what we take time to do. And you realize that we have to, right? We have to take time to study the word of God. We have to take time, right? Do you take time through the week daily to have your devotion, you know, to spend time? Sometimes you may find, you know, it's so difficult. The day is going to start, you know, and once the clock, the alarm bell rings, then, you know, the actions are a clockwork, right, daily. But you realize that if your soul is not prepared, your steps will not be firm, right? Your steps will not be firm. Right, and you won't be able to know the pitfalls. Right? What are the landmines that will come in your way? Oh, and that's what time with God will do. Right? Is that your experience? Time with God will tell you the danger that is going to come for the day. The Word of God will instruct you. The Spirit of God will show you what is it that is going to come. As you pray, as you seek the Lord in His Word, the Lord is going to show you, and the Lord is going to guide you, and the Lord will protect you. But if we are not careful, then fear and doubt will come. Not faith, not courage to stand and to withstand. So you see that the Lord wants us to know what we are talking about. And you know, when you're well grounded in the Word of God, then you would grow. And the structure of your life would be able to stand the storm. Right? Jesus says that you're not building your house on sand. Right? The storm come, sweep, and that's it. You know, gone, blown away. But the foundations of the house, if it's strong, you're grounded, then you'll find that, you know, when the storms come, you are able to withstand. And for those who wanted to read the Bible, at that time it's forbidden. To print the Bible, it's forbidden. And this is our privilege today that God gives to us. And God teaches us, shows us which Bible to use. God instructs us so that we may know where to find the pure doctrines of God. And you would see and realize that these are very, very crucial. I was listening to our pastoral advisor. 10 years ago he was speaking. And he was speaking about the Bible versions. How he was warning us that against the proliferation of modern versions and how it attacked the many vital doctrines of the Word. And if you are not careful, you find that it's easy to just switch. I know of someone who was sitting in a committee, in a board, to change the Bible 30 years ago. And he said to me that I regret that decision. From the King James Bible, we changed. And I was there sitting, one of the board, member of the board, to take that decision. Exhort you, Jude wrote, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Not an easy thing to do. To stand your ground, to know what is good, and to continue with it. Jeremiah says, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, that ye shall find rest for your souls. Indeed, Jesus says that when he comes again, will he find faith on earth? The answer there is no. Man's faith will be waxed cold. And you'll find that we are in that uphill battle. There are many forces that are there to dislodge you. And you'll find that you would have to earnestly, agonizingly, that's the word, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It is from the doctrines that that you derived the practice. So wrong principles, wrong practice. We are to search the Word of God. And God has, by His mercy and provision, provided for us a spiritual tradition. And we are not about to give it away. We are not about to give it up. We must not. For our own soul's sake, for the sake of the next generation, we must not. And therefore, I urge you to book a slot in your calendar to come on the 28th of October, 4 to 6 p.m., to listen to the rendering of history. We have invited the speaker that would be able to help us to understand our spiritual heritage so that we may know and continue to hold fast to the spiritual heritage that God has entrusted to us, and that for the next generation. May God be very merciful. May His people realize the perils and the danger, and may rally together to support the advancement of God's kingdom on earth before He returns. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. Give to us Thy wisdom to understand the issues at stake, and grant to us the courage and the faith to follow. Be merciful to Thy church. Lord, as Thou hast promised, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here we stand. May Thou be gracious to grant us courage to trust Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.